We're going to continue on this theme of a journey. The unfinished journey is the theme of our Lottie Moon Christmas offering, or our season of prayer. And I think it's like really a parable of life. We're not finished yet because we're still here, right? But it's about the birth of Jesus Christ. And it says there, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. So we're going to look at this journey again to Bethlehem, a Christmas journey, if you will. Now, some would wonder, well, we already know these things, and why do we spend so much time thinking about the birth of Jesus when we really know not as much as maybe we'd like to know about it? I mean, the Bible doesn't have a lot really about the birth of Jesus. So why do we spend this disproportionate amount of time at the season of the birth of Jesus, thinking about his birth? Well, I think it's so important because this is where God became a man, the Bible says, and came and dwelt among us. And it's appropriate that we think of his entrance in the world because he wants to come in to our lives. He wants to come and dwell among us, to dwell within us, and to be our Emmanuel, which means God with us. So I want to encourage you, as I do myself, and as I believe the Spirit is encouraging us, to take this journey again to Bethlehem, and to retrace the steps of those Christmas luminaries. I'm thinking about the people of the Bible. Now, Joseph and Mary, but there were others who light the way to the manger of Bethlehem, as it were. And one of these is Joseph, one of the unsung heroes of the Bible. Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus the Christ. Well, what can we learn from Joseph that will guide us in our journey? So I want us to look this morning at some lessons here from the life of Joseph in taking this Christmas journey. What can we learn about Joseph, about Joseph's response to this season of the year? Well, I think, first of all, calmness. I see that in Joseph. And I think it goes really counter to our whole frenetic season that seems to start earlier and earlier every year. There used to be the season after Thanksgiving, I think, started maybe Monday, the shopping season I'm talking about. And then there was Black Friday. And I think now they're going to, I don't know what they call it, Thursday night. But a lot of the stores are opening late Thursday night, midnight, for shopping. So it seems like every year we're bombarded with this. The pressure is on to find that gift, and it's all in a time when the economy is not the greatest. And so we feel under these enormous pressures, pressures I think that we put upon ourselves. Well, would that we could go back to an earlier time, a simpler time, we would say, a time when there were no problems, a time when people just enjoyed life with calmness. I want to disabuse us of that false view that we have of the past. I don't think that Joseph was any less pressured than we are today. Maybe he had more pressures. And we're going to look at some of the pressures that Joseph had. Now, true, he didn't have to think about Christmas shopping and family get-togethers. And I mean, the family was together, but not where they wanted to be. I'm sure you know the story, how there was a taxation that was taking place. Matthew doesn't tell us about that, but Luke does. And it was kind of a forced journey that they took to Bethlehem. And we know about that. We know about how Joseph was under other pressures. And we're going to think about some of the pressures that he was under. First of all, there was a discovery. And that discovery was Mary's expectancy or pregnancy. It says in the scriptures that before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Certainly suspicion could have taken over his life. He could have felt under the accusation, the object of the pointing finger at him. I mean, you can just kind of imagine what kinds of thoughts must have been going through his mind. And it leads me to think of unexpected things that happen in our lives that we think are not good. I mean, how could anything good come from something like that, we would say. And we forget that the Bible says all things work together for good to those who love Him and are the called according to His purpose, Romans 8:28. And in Philippians 4:6, it says that we are to be careful or to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, it says, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's what the Word of God says. We're to take it to God in prayer. But it also makes me think of those discoveries that sometimes we have, illnesses and, you know, that thorn in the flesh, like Paul spoke of. Cancer comes to mind. Cancer, probably the most dreaded disease of our time. And how many have received that, what seems to be a death sentence? But really, we're all under a death sentence, aren't we? The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And so we know that we must prepare to meet our God, the Bible says. Well, there's a discovery here that we can learn from. There's a dishonor. I think it could have been seen as a dishonor to Joseph. He could have had suspicious thoughts toward this young woman that he was engaged to be married. But he was told in a dream to take Mary as his wife. Because what is born in her, or what was conceived in her, was by the Holy Spirit. And some other things that God told him there in that dream that is in the scripture before us there. But I wonder if sometimes we feel dishonored, and because of that, we begin that calmness that we know we ought to have, and that God wants us to have, because Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you." And he said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls." And so he wants us to have that rest. But sometimes we feel dishonored, and we want to vindicate ourselves. I suppose Joseph could have gone on a crusade to try to vindicate himself, but he didn't do that. Instead, he trusted in the Lord. I believe he did what Psalm 37:7 says, where it says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass." So again, getting back to that idea of calmness. But calmness in discovery and dishonor, you see that in Joseph. And even in disappointment, I suppose if Joseph was one to map out his life, as sometimes we're prone to do, he wouldn't let this out. It was just, you know, a shock. I don't think we really realize what a great shock this must have been, or could have been, to Joseph. I don't know that it was the shock that it was, because he got a word from the Lord about it. Obviously, a man who loved God and who loved His Word and was listening to God. God's still small voice. But sometimes we are disappointed, aren't we? Disappointed that things are not better than they are. disappointed that different trials come into our lives. But then we realize that disappointments are often God's appointments, as Joseph obviously found out. So calmness, we can learn that from Joseph's example. We can also learn about compassion. Now, what are some of the evidences of his compassion? Well, there was his refusal, a refusal to punish Mary. He's called a just man here. That seems to be almost a contradiction, because you'd think if here was a man who is righteous, he would have been the first to throw a stone at Mary. But he refused to do so out of compassion. The Bible says that we are to love one another. In fact, Jesus said that. And he said it many times, not just once, but many times, that we are to love one another. And love is to be primary. Does not the Bible say God is love? I don't know of any other attribute of God that it says, you know, God is justice, for example. Well, it does say God is a just God. It does say God is a holy God. But God is love. Love really is the summation of his character. And we see that in Joseph being dominated by love. Love for God. Love for Mary. Acceptance. I think we're too quick to judge others. And we're too quick to point the finger and throw the stone. May we learn from Joseph's compassion, his refusal, his reception of Mary as his wife. Acceptance, if you will. Accept one another, the Bible says, as fellow members of the body of Christ. We should not be making accusations. Sometimes in our minds, we imagine things that may not even be true. I can learn from Joseph about that. I trust you can learn from Joseph about that. His reception of Mary as his wife. Rejection is so common today, it almost seems normal. And we like to look for loopholes and for excuses to get rid of that friend or sometimes that spouse even. But Joseph, we can learn from his compassion. There was his reception of Mary as his wife. The respect of the child also, his respect of the child that Mary bore or was to bear. She hadn't yet. But Joseph heard the voice of God. And we have the Word of God telling us about this wonderful child who is born of a virgin, the Bible says. I think that's very important, because if Jesus was not born of a virgin, he could not be our perfect sin bearer. He would be no better than you or I. But he was born of the holy seed of the Holy Spirit, the Godhead. God became a man, the Bible says, and dwelt among us. Joseph had respect for that child, that holy child. It's really what Christmas is all about. More than just respect, of course, is worshiping him and letting him be who he wants to be and is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I see that in Joseph. I can learn a lot from Joseph, from his calmness, and from his compassion. Sorry, I didn't get these in the right order here, but calmness, compassion, that's supposed to be on top there, one and two, if you're taking notes. And then courage. We can learn from Joseph's courage. What about that courage? Well, there was righteousness. Righteousness isn't a very popular word today. And not too many people really aspire to be righteous. I think because there's so much criticism and much of it well-founded of those that are, you know, self-righteous, kind of self-proclaimed righteousness. But here was a man who was just. The Greek word can be translated either way. He was justified with God. He was declared righteous by God. He was right. He was right with God. He was right with people. I think that's all that God requires, is that we submit to his commandments, and that we strive to live a life of rightness in this world that's so contrary to everything that's right or righteous. Joseph took Mary as his wife, knowing that the child was not his. Now that may not seem like righteousness to you, but really that's what God did for us. Took our sin upon himself. Became a man, first of all, in the person of that Christ child who grew up and who walked that road to Calvary. And the Bible says that the sins of all of us were placed upon him. And we became righteous because of his righteousness. But that's hard to understand. It's hard to even fathom how God could take a heart that is totally corrupt. And if you know your heart, you know that's true, what the Bible says, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and wash it white as snow in blood, no less, the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. So there's the courage of righteousness. It takes courage to live a righteous life. And I'm not talking about a self-righteous life, but a life that's right with God and right with other people. That is, as far as we know, there's no impediment between us and another brother or sister that might keep them from a walk with God, a life of righteousness of their own, not really of their own, but that which God wants to give them through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's the righteousness aspect of that courage. There's resistance. We see it in Joseph's defying of the wrath of Herod, how he was willing to accept that child and all of the things that followed the wrath of Herod upon that child, trying to destroy that child, taking the family to Egypt. I see a life of righteous resistance here. Now, there may come a time that we must also say, I must obey God rather than men. Well, I think it's right now. There are a lot of issues that come to mind that are politically correct and may even be legislated. It doesn't mean they're right. And sometimes we must resist, as Joseph did. I'm sure you know that next Tuesday, I believe, this Tuesday is Pearl Harbor Day. One of the great, I almost said the greatest day in American history. I don't know that it was the greatest day in American history. Certainly the day that was paid for with the lives of many of our Navy personnel primarily, but all of many others died in that attack. And they marshaled this freedom-loving nation to stand against tyranny, to stand for freedom. It's what America stands for. It's really what that Statue of Liberty is all about. And I see that in Joseph, his resistance. It took courage for him to do what he did. And there was a reliance. He fled his homeland to Egypt, trusting in the promise of God. We've studied about some of the patriarchs of Israel, like Abraham, for example, who I believe went to Egypt and wasn't a good thing. It was really an escape. And there were some bad things that came out of that. But in this case, he was specifically commanded to go to preserve that life, to preserve that child that he knew was not his own because he relied on one who is invisible. The Bible says his spirit. God is a spirit. Jesus said, and they who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. That's Joseph. He relied on God rather than his own thought process. So what will make for calmness, compassion, courage? What will make for a more meaningful Christmas journey this year? We can learn from Joseph. We can learn from his calmness. We cast our burden upon the Lord, as the Bible says, admonishes us to do. And then compassion and courage. If we will take those, learn from those qualities of Joseph, it'll make the journey brighter. And along the way, we will let our light shine for Jesus. And others will wonder, well, what's different? Why are you so calm? Why is there compassion? I think patience is a big part of that. I didn't put that in here about Joseph. Certainly, here's a man who is very patient. Patient with God, patient with others. And so many are impatient. That'll stand out. Courage. I mean, do you see the picture here that I believe the Holy Scriptures are portraying of this man, Joseph? May we take that journey with him.